John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came to bear a witness. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Joel, thank you very much for reading. May I begin by wishing you a very, very happy Christmas indeed, and asking you, if you would, to consider with me the last sentence of that most famous of all the Christmas readings. It's sentence 14 on page 3 there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This time last year, I was getting on a train coming up from the West Country. I got on at Liscard, pulled into Plymouth, and as I pulled into Plymouth, two gentlemen, must have been in their 40s, dressed in full pixie outfit and Plymouth Argyle scarves, also joined the train. None of that will be happening this Christmas. Our Christmas is marked by an annual visit to the Christmas Eve Smithfield auction. None of that will be happening this Christmas. And at risk of stating the blindingly obvious, in a year where so much has changed and is different, here is the one thing in Christmas that remains stable as we celebrate Christ Mass, the birth of the Lord Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to speak about the wonder of Christmas, and I want us to consider the glory of Christmas. When that sentence speaks of the Word becoming flesh, it is speaking of the individual described in the first 13 verses of the reading. And in verses 1 to 3, there is no mistaking that he is the creator of the universe. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that has been made. We could argue day and night about the how of this creation, the mechanism by which all things came into being. This sentence speaks of the who of creation. And you can see from the negative there in verse 3, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. You can see from the negative there that the author is not giving an inch. This individual, this Word who became flesh, is the creator of literally everything in this universe. But the claim is not simply that this individual, the Lord Jesus, is the origin of all things. You might say that it is also that he is the explanation of all things. Verse 4, in him was life. That is eternal life. That is life from God. That is, if you like, new creation life, life beyond this world. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. Of course, because if he is the very life of God, eternal life from God, then he lights up our understanding. And so verse 9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into this world. Now, these are huge claims, and they change literally everything for the person who is gripped by them. I think I can number 5 babies that have been born in the last 6 months or so within the church family here at St. Helens. I won't run through them all for a moment, but can you imagine any one of the mothers, and we saw some of these babies before the various lockdowns, can you imagine any one of these mothers walking into the building here and amidst all the kind of general cooing and gathering around and welcoming the baby, holding the child up? This baby was in the beginning. This baby was with God. This baby is God. Without this child was not anything made that has been made. This baby, not only eternal life from God, but enlightening all of humanity. It is an extraordinary claim, the wonder of Christmas. And of course, the carols we sing pick these up, don't they? Once in Royal David City, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Hark the herald, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Silent night, holy infant, and O come all ye faithful, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not created. And it changes everything. I have either known personally or lived alongside 6 individuals who have lost their lives in the last 9 months. For 3 of those individuals, I was at their funerals. And they were people who trusted in the Word made flesh. And may I say that amongst the profound sadness of those occasions, and they were profoundly sad occasions, was this unshakable assurance, because they knew the one in whom is life. This was not the end. They did not simply enter the ground to rot. In him was life. Now, the word dwelling there, he dwelt amongst us, is a technical term, and some of the translations have, he pitched his tent amongst us, or he tabernacled. It's the same idea. It's taken from the early part of the Bible, where we read God, in his extraordinary condescension, came to dwell amongst his people. I don't know if you saw the reports of William and Kate on their rail tour of the UK, and that wonderful image of them sitting on the bench in Batley Station in West Yorkshire, looking for all intents and purposes like one of you or me as they glanced up at the departures board. I can only assume it was very, very carefully staged, but am I a little cynical? And the articles told us that in the carriage there was Formica furniture, single beds, and British Rail sandwiches, tea in paper cups. Well, now here is the Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, source of all life, past, present, and future, fount of all wisdom, making his dwelling amongst us. And that simple word flesh captures it, doesn't it, as it speaks of the vulnerability, the frailty, the humanity. Cut him, he bled. Smack him in the face, he hurt. Insult him, vilify him, deride him, it cut deep. Crush a crown of thorns on his head, he bled. Crucify him, he died. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. The sheer wonder of Christmas. I became a Christian myself, started to follow the Lord Jesus in 1979. I remember that first Christmas. We were still living on a small farm down in the West Country. I remember that first Christmas carrying bales of hay out into the kind of frost-covered fields to feed the sheep and looking up at the skies above. No light pollution there. You could see just vivid images of our galaxy. Then clearing out the manure from a manger, which is one of the tasks you have to do, and thinking of the sheer wonder of it, that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And some might say, well, surely not, really? Show us some evidence. And the sentence goes on to speak of that, doesn't it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. We have seen his glory. Here is an eyewitness account, if you like, of the glory of the Word made flesh. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory, of course, in this gospel is seen throughout the gospel. It should be no surprise that the Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh, when he enters the universe, is accompanied by markers and miracles that are glorious. When Wills and Kate did their tour of the UK, I am told that Shakin' Stephen turned out at one station to sing Merry Christmas at their request, which was the 1985 number one hit. At another, George Richardson in Berwick-on-Tweed, who runs Rent a Reindeer, turned up with Chas, Crackers and Eccles. And in Edinburgh, the Lord Provost of Edinburgh had his official piper to welcome them, of course. And this evidence, this gospel, is full of evidence of the glory of the Creator of the universe. He turns water into wine. He thus revealed his glory. He heals an official's son, a child who'd been in intensive care, if you like, on life support. He restores a man paralyzed for 38 years. He gives sight to a man born blind. He raises Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days and was rotting in the tomb. This happens so that the Son of Man may be glorified. I wish I could persuade you, if you've never actually read one of these eyewitness accounts, to take it home with you, to take hold of it, and over Christmas to read it. Here you will find the glory of the Word made flesh. We have seen his glory. The 19th century Russian author Dostoevsky, from his prison cell, newly converted to Christianity, wrote to Mrs. Fonzin, "If anyone succeeded in proving to me that Christ was not real, I would rather stay with Christ than with the truth." Such was the glory that he had seen. The English poet, Lord Byron, "If God is not like Jesus, then he ought to be." Tony Jordan, the scriptwriter of Echo Breach, perhaps a slightly different league here, "The only thing I know is that the words I read as coming from Jesus Christ are the most true thing I've ever read. Beautiful, pure, good, kind, faithful. His teaching has shaped the civilization of the West. He lived like no other. His love raises our understanding of what love truly is and defines it for us. We have seen his glory." But glory in the eyewitness account here is most tightly linked to the death of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection of Jesus from the tomb, the reign of King Jesus, and his return as your judge and mine. The word glory comes at least 30 times in the gospel. I counted them all, read them all. On all but 4 or 5 of them, they refer to the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and his return to judge you and to judge me. And I think that's why, in our sentence, if you would turn back to it again and look at it another time, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The truth being spoken of here is both truth about us and truth about God. John is not speaking about kind of subjective, unsubstantiated, speculative, or imaginative truth, not half-truth or debatable truth, something that might be true for you but not true for me, my truth and your truth. We have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No, he's talking about authoritative truth, true truth, undeniable truth, objective truth. Of course, because if Jesus Christ comes from God, he can tell us about God. If he has seen God, he can speak of God. If he is God, he reveals God. And so this is not some sort of speculative idea about God. This is the objective, absolute, true truth about God. We have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. I don't know how you're getting on with your Christmas shopping. I speak to you as one feeling unbearably smug and deeply self-satisfied because I've had my wife's Christmas present since mid-August. And I've kept it a secret, which, if you know me, is a huge, huge and extraordinary feat. But the Christmas present is safely tucked up in my mother's house down in the West Country. It's hidden. You don't know what it is. My wife doesn't know what it is. But I've seen it. And so if you come to me afterwards, I won't actually tell you, but I could tell you objectively, truly, absolutely, undeniably, what my wife's Christmas present is, because I've seen it. The Lord Jesus says, I am from above. I have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And those who saw him say, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. No more guessing, no more speculation. You can know God, and so can I, with confidence and certainty. But not only truth about God, also truth about ourselves. He tells us the truth about us, who we are, what we're here for, where we've come from, where we're going, what we're like. I wonder if you might turn to just one other sentence, just to glance at it with me. It's on page 9, and it's right at the top of the page there, 3 lines down. Page 9, chapter 3 of John's Gospel, if you're at home and not with the same as us, chapter 3 and verse 19. Here it is. Here is Jesus's truth about us. This is the verdict, the judgment. Light has come into the world. People loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And so as perfection, divine purity, steps into our world and shows us what it means to be truly pure, truly good, truly loving, truly faithful, truly true, the light shines and, of course, reveals us for what we are. I was talking about this in the office just before we began, and somebody said, truth can be very painful, can't it? In him was grace and truth. Truth about God, truth about us. Light lights us up. Light shows us for what we are. Light reveals all. In him was truth. It's been one of the problems of Zoom, hasn't it? You actually have to look at yourself very close up. I remember the first Zoom call, I saw myself full screen. I thought, who on earth is that looking back at me? It was absolutely shocking. One of my friends in the city tells me that over lockdown, one of the projects has been to get a whole new bathroom. And the bathroom cabinet has got bright, bright, bright lights. And his wife came down the first morning and said, my goodness me, I've just seen myself for the first time for years. The wonder of Christmas, the glory of Christmas, full of grace and truth. Truth about God, truth about us. Us as we really are in all our brokenness and darkness, frailty and failure, full of grace. That is, I would say, perhaps the most precious word of all in the Christian faith. Grace. It speaks of undeserved, unearned, generous forgiveness. Read the eyewitness account. He grew up. He lived a life of perfection. He went to the cross, and on that cross, he carried God's just judgment at everything you and I have ever done wrong. And so as we come to the truth, the light, you might say, have the truth laid plain, simultaneously we find grace. Undeserved, unearned, free, forgiveness. I want to urge you, to encourage you, if you already belong to the Lord Jesus, to spend time pondering this one sentence. Pick it up, as we have done, word by word, little phrase by little phrase. Consider it, ponder it. The word became flesh. He made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you've never explored the gospel for yourself, if you're here as a visitor, if you're listening online, having not looked at it for yourself, I want to urge you to read the gospel. Oh, you will find truth, truth from God, truth about yourself, but also grace. And so it is safe to come out into the light if you like. For God is full of grace. And as you come to him, life, light, eternity, truth, it changes everything.